the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Well, annuities have been around for a long period of time. In fact, in the Middle Ages, it was one form of investment between governments and its citizens. And if your parents had a steady pension plan all their life, chances are what they were receiving was an actual annuity. Annuities, as I've mentioned, have been around for a long time. Are they good, bad, or do they fit most people's retirement plans today? That is the subject of our lifetime income. Joining me on the program from PFS Group is Rob Bernard. Rob, why don't we get down to some basics? Because I don't think people understand what annuity is. There's different forms of annuity. Why don't we start with the basics between, let's say, what is a fixed annuity, what is a variable annuity, and then what is an immediate annuity, and explain the differences and how they function.
Sure, Jim. A fixed annuity is just that. It's fixed for a period of time. Normally, it's a fixed interest rate. Usually, it's a teaser rate for 1 year, and then from years 2 to 5 to 6, however long you want to keep it, it floats. The variable rate is an annuity that, make believe it's an umbrella with a bunch of mutual funds underneath it. It has stock market performance. An immediate annuity is an annuity that you start annuitizing right away and receiving income.
Now, let's go back to immediate annuity because, Rob, my parents, your parents, and for a generation, especially after World War II, a lot of individuals that worked in the private sector worked for a company. Let's say you worked for General Electric, and after 30 years with the company, they would usually give you a pension that was based on a fixed amount of money that would last you and your spouse the rest of your life. Most people don't realize what the company was doing was taking a lump sum of money, going to an insurance company, giving it to them, and based on that amount and interest rates, that created your monthly pension. I wonder if you might relate immediate annuities in terms of how they function, because that's really what people that receive a pension really have.
Yes, exactly right. As a matter of fact, one of my clients just received that very product, and he called me and said, Rob, what would you take? And his choices were period certain, meaning that he's able to take a payout for 5-year period certain, 10-year, 20-year period certain, or life. Okay. And so once he takes that, let's say it's 10 years, at the end of 10 years, his account is zero, basically. The other strategy that he can take is single life, which means that he will get a payment for his entire life. Or he can take joint life, meaning that he can take a slightly less payment, and then when he passes, his wife receives the rest until she passes. And most people that are married normally take joint life strategy.
Now, in today's kind of market where you have low interest rates, where companies do offer the option of annuity payment, Rob, what have you found on those annuity options, like in the case of your client, where he's being offered an annuity payment for the rest of his life and his wife, versus, let's say, if he was to take whatever money he had in a profit sharing or 401k and roll it over into an IRA and, let's say, try to invest personally. What has been your experience with those two options?
Well, here's his exact option. He could have taken a lump sum to roll over into a 401k roller of roughly $40,000. Or he could have taken as a single life payout $1,200 a month. Or he could have taken a joint life payment of $920. And then when he passes, his wife gets the $920 until she passes. So I recommended that he took the joint life, because it actually is more than just taking the rollover or single life.
Okay, that's a fixed annuity, which in many ways functions kind of like somebody taking out a CD, where you go to the bank, you take out a 1-year CD, 5-year CD, the bank guarantees you an interest rate. Let's talk about some of the differences of an annuity versus a CD. If I, let's say, get a CD, I'm going to report that interest. One of the advantages annuities have is the earnings, whether it's interest or gains in the stock market or tax deferred.
Yes, that's correct. And I do have some experience on that as well, because when interest rates were higher, people would say, well, you know, I like the 5%, but Rob, you know, I don't want to pay tax on that. Okay, well, you can put in a fixed annuity. You can have the 1 year fixed and let it float, or you can have a fixed rate for 3, 5, or 7, or as long as 10 years, and have all of your interest that you've earned compound at a tax-deferred rate. And at some point in time in the future, you can say, Rob, just send me a check for my interest only, or send me a check for principal and interest, and let the customer control his tax liability as opposed to it not being in control.
All right, so that's the fixed annuity. Let's talk about a variable annuity. Just as the name implies, the returns are variable. Typically, Rob, variable annuities invest in stock mutual funds, bond mutual funds, or mutual funds for their return. Explain how that works, the advantages, and then let's talk about the pluses and minuses of both kinds of products.
Variable annuities are long-term tax-deferred investments with stock market participation. They can offer asset allocation models. In some cases, they can offer up to 100 different mutual funds, so you can build your own model if you choose. They have withdrawal options and penalties, basically the same as a fixed annuity. And most people like that ability to have stock market gains but not pay taxes on them until they wish to.
Let's talk about the good, the bad, and ugly of annuities. Because if, let's say I go to a bank and I take out a 1 year CD, the CD comes due, I get my money back, I can roll it over, I can do whatever I want. When I go into an annuity, whether it's fixed or variable, depending on the type of annuity that you buy, because there are no load annuities that have no penalties. On the other hand, there are annuities that the penalties, quite honestly, Rob, can be very high, substantial, and last for a long period of time.
That's correct. And all annuities, except the no-load ones, they can have anywhere from a 5-year surrender charge or up to 10 years where the surrender charge slash penalty can apply. Variable annuities have a lot of different features, and it's like an a la carte menu, and they all come with a particular cost. Some of them have living benefit, a death benefit, a stretch benefit, minimum growth guarantee, etc. So it all depends on what the client is actually looking for, or what hot buttons somebody really wants to take advantage of.
Let's take a basic annuity. A fixed annuity, typically they're going to offer you an interest rate. There's going to be some penalties depending on whether you get a no-load product or load product, and depending on how large of an interest rate. Let's talk about a variable annuity, which are used more today, which are the most popular. They have expenses associated with them. We all know that if you put money in a mutual fund, you're going to pay the mutual fund a fee. Explain the different options, the fees associated with the options that go with most variable annuities.
Well, for example, let's talk about a living benefit first. Well, let's back up. You have mortality and expense and admin fees. Most annuities start off at around 1.2 to 1.5%. And then we go into the a la carte stuff. Customer could come up and say, well, I want a living benefit. I want to make sure that I have at least a 4% payout when I do start taking my withdrawals. Most people have an accumulation stage. Usually if a 50-year-old guy buys a variable annuity, they're in an accumulation stage until they're age 65, 66, 67. So the amount is building up. Now, if they want to have a for sure 4% payout, that may cost them 50, 60, maybe as much as 70 basis points to have a guaranteed 4% payout. Not only do they have a guaranteed 4% payout, but they also could have a minimum growth guarantee, in some cases up to 6%, all for that 60, 70 basis point charge, which means, this is pretty cool about a variable annuity, which means that if the stock market or if their account doesn't grow by at least 6%, the insurance company comes in and gives a credit to their account of 6%. So example is, like in 2015, the market was flat. Nobody made anything. The S&P 500 was just flat. Well, if you would have had $100,000 in your variable annuity, the insurance company would have credited you $6,000. The next year, 2016, if the market didn't at least return 6%, the insurance company credited you the equivalent of 6%. So in 1 year, you could make 10%, the insurance company wouldn't credit your account at all. So that's one important thing. So that means your account, your variable annuity is going to grow at least 6% a year while you're in the accumulation stage. Of course, when you start making your withdrawals, that 6% goes away.
Now, what about something, sometimes we refer this in estate planning, is something called like a step up. So let's say, Rob, you have some kind of guarantee of a rate of return and you're in a variable. So let's say that you were fortunate enough, you get in the stock market in 2010, or let's go with a real world example. Let's say you get in the stock market in 2002, and we have a nice run up to the stock market. It's up over 100%. And then we go through that bear market of 2007 and 2009. So let's say you put in 100,000, it grows to 250,000. But now we go into a bear market and your account drops from 250 down to 150. Let's talk about the step up and what it does.
Some variable annuity account companies will offer you a strategy for a fee that will lock in your highest value for you. Okay, so in this particular case, $250,000 was the highest value recorded. So that all of a sudden becomes that person's high water mark. Now, if the market drops $150,000 and the owner of that account happens to pass away, his beneficiary gets the $250,000. No matter if the market's dropped 100 or 200 or whatever amount of money it's dropped, he's paid for that rider and his beneficiary receives that high water mark of $250,000.
So annuities have gotten a bad rap. In fact, there are people in the financial industry. I mean, if you turn on a cable financial station, you can see an ad talking about how great they are and the things they can do for you. And then another ad, they say they're the most terrible thing out there. So what's truth and what is fiction about that?
Well, a little bit of both probably, but I would say the reason why people get the bad rap about them is that they're not properly disclosed. All the little nuances and all the a la cartes, all the fees, expenses are not properly disclosed. And so when the client slash customer wants to make a change or wants to get his money out, he can't because it wasn't disclosed or he forgot about what he signed up for. It's usually many, many years down the road. But let me back up for a second. One part that is really important about having a variable annuity. Most people would say great investment for accumulation, but what about protecting your loved ones? You're a man, 65 years old, you've just retired from your firm, and your payout or your rollover is $500,000. If you put the $500,000 with a regular brokerage account, and you run it up to, say, $700,000 in the bull market between your example of 2004 to 2007. It's up to $700,000, and the S&P gets whacked in half, and now it's $350,000, and you pass away. Your wife doesn't get the $700,000. Your wife gets the $350,000, or could be less. However, if the gentleman would have put that money into a variable annuity with a death benefit, his wife would have received the high water mark of $700,000 in his qualified plan. And furthermore, she could either take that in a lump sum, roll it into her own personal IRA, or take a stretch on that as well, meaning she could stretch it out. If it went to a son or daughter, they could utilize the stretch concept. So there's many, many different options that a variable annuity can afford somebody that's trying to protect or insure their monies for a loved one, a spouse, or actually a trust for that matter. Whereas if they just had that and the market cracked, his wife would get the $350,000 and she'd probably sell out and then be stuck without the market's participation on the way up.
Rob, when are annuities not appropriate? You know, I've used them at the firm when somebody just does not have enough assets accumulated to live the lifestyle they hoped in retirement. So part of their portfolio is put into an immediate annuity to really provide a steady source of income. When you look at annuities, whether they're fixed or variable, When are they really not appropriate? In other words, sometimes there's a lot of aggressive sales practices out there where people are put into annuity, where annuity may not be the right fit. When is an annuity not the right fit for a person?
Jim, that's a great question. And I would have to say that it has a lot to do with education. They have to be sold to the customer's needs. Your customers that you're talking about actually need immediate annuitization. But the main problem out there in the public is that somebody comes in to a person that's maybe somewhat unscrupulous. Somebody says, hey, I need immediate income. They sell them an annuity and annuitize it right away. And when it is annuitized right away, they can never go back to a lump sum again. Now, if somebody understands that and needs that income like you're describing, that's totally fine. But the biggest problem out there is the one you annuitize any contract, whether it's variable, fixed, index, whatever it is, you lose control of your assets. And I think that is where the problem arises and how they get a bad rap. Because once you annuitize, you can never go back. So that's why when I talk to my clients about annuities, I always say, look, Mr. Jones, you don't have to annuitize. You can pull X number of dollars out of your annuity on a monthly basis, annual basis, at the end of the year, however you want to do it. Just don't annuitize it because you lose the ability forever to take a lump sum distribution again. Now, someone at the end of retirement, they're 80 years old. They want to spend that money down. They'll say, look, I want to have it all annuitized. Give it to me right now. Fine. That's great.
So a lot of it depends on, I guess, personal financial circumstances. I can think of individuals that want a steady form of monthly income and have enough assets where maybe they can have part of it annuitized, part of it in something like blue chip stocks. Let's talk about the thing that happens when, let's say, somebody passes on. The nice thing about an annuity, they avoid probate. They go directly to the beneficiary. Let's talk about some of the estate planning functions of annuities today. You mentioned a couple of them, but let's talk, and maybe you can summarize annuities from an estate point of view.
Well, one of the better ones that I like to talk about is the beneficiary stretch. Let's say that it's one of the owner's children, not his spouse. If it's a spouse, then they can roll it right into their own personal IRA. You can have what's called a beneficiary stretch. So what that does is it stretches out the tax liability over the life expectancy of that child or beneficiary. So if the son is 30 years old and he's the beneficiary, he gets to stretch it all out to a man, life expectancy could be 80 years old or whatever. So that really stretches out the tax liability on it. And it used to be only for qualified plans, but now it's for non-qualified contracts as well. Another one is the parent forced stretch so that the parent can have some control over their son or daughter as far as how they spend the money and when they get that money. So those are a couple of items that are very important when it comes to that kind of strategy planning.
So, Rob, there are a lot of good things that are associated with annuities, but have we discussed all the bad things? Because obviously there's things that aren't as good. It may not fit people because in many ways, annuities aren't for everyone.
Well, a couple of things that people have to be aware of, it's called fee drag. So a fully loaded variable annuity, if you took everything off the a la carte menu and put it all together, it could be as much as 3%, sometimes 3.25%. And if you have these fees on top and your contract continues to grow, well, guess what? The fees to the insurance company continues to grow too. You might start off at 200 grand and your overall fee expense could be 3%. And you have that goes to $300,000, $400,000, $500,000. That starts adding up. That is called fee drag. That's not particularly good.
So, Rob, overall, if you were to summarize an annuity, let's talk about it. Three key points. The good, the bad, and who they really fit.
Sure, Jim. Let's talk about who they really fit. These are great places to pile cash in to have it insured over a long period of time, 10-year period of time, 15-year period of time. You want your money insured for catastrophic market crashes, but you still want to have exposure to the equity market. That's where it's good. Where it's bad is that you have fees. your fees could be as much as 3% if you took everything from that a la carte menu. If you don't take anything from the a la carte menu and just have a bare annuity, it could be cheap. It could be as much as 80 basis points or so for a regular, no extras annuity. But one thing that is not particularly good is called fee drag. That is your expenses climb with the value of your contract. So if your contract starts off at 200 at 3% and it winds up 4 or 5 years down the road where you've got $500,000, $700,000, you can see how that would be a drag on the return of your portfolios. But your money is still insured. So eyes wide open when you go into an annuity. Make sure you totally understand everything, what you're paying for, what your fees are, and what your financial advisor does for you. Is he with you every quarter? Does he make the changes in your allocation makeup? He's a major part of your success on that as well.
Well, listen, Rob, I appreciate you coming on the program, informing our listeners. If our listeners would like to get in touch with you regarding annuities, how could they do so?
Thanks, Jim. They can contact me at 858-487-3939 and just ask for Rob Bernard, or reach me email rob@paplava.com.
Rob, as always, thanks for coming on the program. All the best to you, sir. Come back and talk to us again.
Thanks, Jim. Have a great day.
In the meantime, on behalf of John Loeffler and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
You can subscribe to Financial Sense NewsHour in the iTunes and BlackBerry podcast libraries or at feeds.feedburner.com/FSM. Find more information about our guests at www.financialsense.com/newshour. Friend us at www.facebook.com/financialsenseonline. For our on-the-go listeners, you can access Financial Sense on your mobile device at m.financialsense.com. The Financial Sense NewsHour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the NewsHour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of James Paplava and do not take into account listeners' suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertising with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.